Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 2013, and today we are talking about John Kerry's trip to Moscow, where he is right now, although he is scheduled to leave today. John Kerry, the United States Secretary of State, going to Russia to press the Obama administration's case for Russian cooperation on Syria, and he got a rather chilly reception in Moscow, and I'm not talking about the weather. He was left waiting at the Moscow airport for 30 minutes because of rehearsals for the May 9th Victory Day parade, celebrating victory over Nazi Germany. That is something that the Russians do every year on May 9th. That will be coming up tomorrow. They have a gigantic parade through Moscow, and for several days beforehand, they rehearse this parade. You've seen videos of it probably, with marching troops and these gigantic missiles and military machines and so forth. So the Secretary of State of the United States was left cooling his heels for 30 minutes at the airport because of this. And then when he finally did get to meet with Mr. Putin, by the way, the Secretary of State normally would not be meeting with the head of state of a foreign country. That is something the President would do. But this time, Mr. Putin agreed to see him. It was so important, they said. So when the scheduled time came for him to sit down with Vladimir kept him cooling his heels for 3 hours, waiting past the start time. And then, according to reporters, while they were talking, while Mr. Kerry was talking, he fiddled with his pen constantly the whole time. A very chilly reception indeed. Well, what is that about? This is the United States and Russia are in a chilly period for each other right now. But if we go back to World War II for a minute, at the end of World War II, the United States helped form NATO and join NATO to resist Soviet expansion, their former ally, the Soviet Union, to resist Soviet expansion and to help protect Europe from the Soviet Union. To do that, they had to make friends with their defeated enemy, Nazi Germany, in other words, just Germany now. The United States making friends with and rebuilding an enemy that they had just bombed into oblivion and overrun to resist attacks from their former ally, the Soviet Union. This is the weirdness about all this. Being in NATO and the nations of Western Europe and the United States squaring off against the Soviet Union and their side gave everybody a unity of purpose. In a weird, crazy sort of way, the world makes sense then. Now, it doesn't seem to do that. Once again, the United States goes to a country that it formerly defeated. You could say that we defeated the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union broke apart, and from it has emerged Russia, a new Russia. And now we go to them asking for their cooperation in Syria, cooperation that we need and that might not be in their best interest. Everything upside down and unstable now. Well, these two men finally meet. Kerry, the former naval officer and Vietnam veteran, goes in to see Mr. Putin, the former KGB spy, once again seeking friendship and alliance with a formerly defeated enemy, as I said. What's all this about? Well, it is a superpower chessboard, I guess you could say. That's my analysis of it anyway. Once again, these two nations fight a client war. Russia has been an ally and an arms supplier to Mr. Assad in Syria for many, many years. Russia has few allies and values. The one that it has, Assad, is important to Russia. He's important to prevent chaos and these al-Qaeda-based groups from taking control of one of what has been a Russian client state in Syria. And it is also important to Iran. Assad is very important to Iran, another Russian client state. For Iran, it's vital for their national interest and their regional influence that Assad survive and control Damascus in Syria. No Assad in Syria means a weaker Iran without regional influence, and therein lies the secret to all this, I believe. This is, why would we consider, why is it so important to us that these Al-Qaeda-based rebels who have vowed to destroy us, that they succeed in Syria? Because removing Assad removes much of the regional influence of Iran. The U.S. supplies these Al-Qaeda-based rebels to make sure that Mr. Assad doesn't survive. So once again, as I said, a client state war, a war that has killed at least 70,000 Syrians since it started in 2011. Will Russia cooperate with us? That is the question, and if so, at what price? What can we offer them? Perhaps removal of the missile shield in Europe, maybe, who knows, but I don't think they'll be cooperative without a price. However, at the end of their meeting, both sides, Mr. Putin and Mr. Kerry, said they want cooperation, and they smiled and everybody was happy. Kerry had several other meetings with Russian officials to discuss different issues, the Boston bombing, Iran, North Korea, and so forth. But his real purpose was to set up a meeting later in September between President Obama and Mr. Putin as Russia hosts the G20 summit, the summit of the world's top 20 economies in September. Mr. Obama, Mr. Putin want to have a sit-down, and Kerry was to lay the groundwork for that. Well, Mr. Kerry, as we speak right now, is on his way to Rome, flying to Rome to talk about whatever he will talk about with the Italians, I suppose, and then later this month back to Israel for more talks. Meanwhile, back in Washington, the president courted 25 donors at a hotel near the White House, seeking donors, fundraising, in other words. Tickets for these 25 people started at $10,000 and went to $32,400, depending on access to the president. Donations were contributed from there. No press, a non-official meeting. The campaign goes on. Politics goes on. What should we do about all this? Well, we're in this game now, this grand chessboard, and I suppose there's not much choice but to play it out right now. But I still like minding your own business. We must talk to people. There's no problem with talking to people. I'm all for it. But talking with people and fighting with people are two different things. That's the way I see it anyway. Wednesday, May 8th, 2013. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.